This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you. I say that every morning because it's oh so true. We always like to say, too, that this is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. He saw this day before this day dawned, I'm just telling you. So all of the graces that you need today are available for you today, and it behooves us to make opportunity to take advantage of those graces as they come to us. It's a Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live, and it's a wacky Wednesday. We set this day aside to be with Sue Brinkman, who helps for us to understand the prevailing things that are thrust at us here in our culture today that seem a little off-centered, and she helps for us to discern them and to see if, in fact, these things are of the Lord or not of the Lord. So we always invite you to share your questions with us on these days, as we do every day. So let me give you a number that you can use. We've got Ryan Penny answering phones today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live if you're in North America. And I always like to remind you, it's toll free for you. It doesn't cost you one penny. So we invite you to call us at 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We invite you to use that line. You can text us, text EWTN to 55000, text EWTN to 55000, and you can also be with us out there in social media land. Our social media manager, who is our producer, it works out so well for us, Jeff Burson, will gather your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement off of the websites of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I guess they're not websites in the true sense of the word. But anyway, they're there for you with a chat feature, and you can use that chat feature and get your question up here on the board so we can answer it. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Sue Brinkman. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
I am fit as a fiddle today. I've been saving that one for you.
I'm going to share with all of you. You know, it's this funny little thing that Sue and I do. We're of a certain age, and so we remember all of these odd little sayings that people say, you know. And so, you know, that we used to say when we were children, you know, like, you know, in our mother's wombs.
Yeah,
and every once in a while, we'll pull one of them out. I just read, listen, I just got to share this with you. It's kind of corny, but I'm going to share it anyway. So I was researching something on the internet last night, and every once in a while, as my husband Jack will put it, you know, there's Johnette sees a shiny object, and she goes off in this direction. So I saw this thing in there about gun smoke. Do you remember gun smoke?
Oh, I do remember that. Yes.
It was on for like forever, literally forever. It started off on radio. I found all this out last night because it was my shiny object. And so anyway, it was on like forever. And, you know, it was on radio first, and then it was black and white, and then it was color television, et cetera, et cetera. But here's my point. Do you ever say, Sue Brinkman, you know, well, I got to get out of Dodge right now? Do you ever say
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah. I always say get out of Dodge. It's time to get out of Dodge.
Yeah. Well, what it says is that that came from that show, because it was Dodge City, Kansas, the setting for it. And that's what they would say. You know, he would tell them that, you know, Matt Dillon would say, you know, get out of Dodge, you know, and he would send somebody to banish them from the city. So anyway, that's where that came from. And it said this was a really big saying in the 60s and 70s, but not so much now. And I think I say it all the time, too. You know?
I like get out of Dodge. It's got a nice ring to it. I really do it.
I do, too. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it really does, you know, it just states it all right there in just a few words. That being said, it's good to have you with us today. And we were talking prior to the show about our upcoming Women of Grace events that are coming. We're going to be in Malvern, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, in July 12th, I think the whole thing begins. It's going to be a marvelous time in the Lord there. We want to invite everybody to come. Sue is going to be there for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar, and we're excited about that. Father Nathan Cromley is going to be with us, and he's going to be presenting, and you're going to be adding, and I'm going to be adding. We're all going to be adding. It's going to be a marvelous time in the Lord. So, ladies, do not deprive yourself of the opportunity to join us at Malvern Retreat House for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar and for the retreat that follows it. Come for both if you can, but certainly get to one or the other. We want you there. We want you there because God has abundant graces to pour out on you, and we don't want for you to miss any one of those graces. We certainly do not want for that to happen. So please get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Read about it. See the schedule. See the talk titles. You'll see why it's important for you to be there once you do that. And so we want to personally invite you to join us. I'm excited about it, Sue. Are you?
Oh, absolutely I am. And the Young Women of Grace Retreat is going to be so fabulous.
It's all on
true friendship. Dare to prepare for true friendship. And it's going to be so good with these girls. We have so many fun activities planned for them. They're just going to have a wonderful day. It's going to go so quickly. It starts at 9 o'clock. It ends at 5 or 6, I believe. It ends at 6 p.m. The whole day. And they're going to learn all about what it means to be a BFF. How to be a BFF, a good BFF, what does that mean? They're going to learn all about Mary and how Mary is really remarkable when you look at her life. She is an example of a terrific friend.
She was a great friend.
She teaches us so much about how to be a good friend, even like, say, with Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. who was, you know, guilty of whatever. There's all kinds of discrepancies about whatever it was she's guilty of. But Mary Magdalene didn't have a very good reputation. And yet once Jesus forgave her, hey, so did Mary. And Mary welcomed her right into her fold. I mean, it teaches girls how to, you know, reach out to the person who's marginalized, who's on the edge. We have all kinds of stuff like this to teach the girls at that particular retreat. They are going to love it.
They absolutely enjoy themselves. We were just in Lafayette, Louisiana last weekend, and Mary Dillon Back worked with the girls. Mary is one of our regional coordinators, and she, along with Sue Brinkman and Sue Jacobson, really adapted our Women of Grace study for the Young Women of Grace. And there's a complete binder, ladies, of activities that you do with these young girls. And they love these activities. So, you know, if you've never considered becoming a facilitator for Young Women of Grace, I would encourage you to do it. We had lots of moms, so you'll be excited about this, lots of moms and teachers, young women who, you know, were purchasing the kit. And what they want to do is to go forward and to be sure to, you know, to get this started in their area. And we're excited about that. But these young ladies that came, what a nice group of young women. And they had such a blast. They had such a good time in the midst of learning. And Father Chris Decker, who was with us, said he couldn't get over the questions they were asking him when he went in and he celebrated Mass for them. They have their own Mass that gets celebrated for them. And the priest, who is our chaplain through the retreat, has a talk with them. Just absolutely beautiful. So everything you're saying here, Sue, is so important, and it'll be just the same in Malvern this year. So we're inviting you, please, to go forward, you know, sign up, register, come join us at Malvern Retreat House in July. I'll have the specific dates for you in this time, but I know it's the 12th. So anyway, we're looking forward to being there with you. I hear that music. We're going to come back. We're going to be talking about some of the strange stuff going on out there in the world today with our guest, Sue Brinkman. She is our staff journalist and also our researcher and responder to the questions that come in through the New Age blog. More with you on the other side of the break. I'm Janet Williams. It's Women of Grace Live. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. We are here on this Wednesday with Sue Brinkman. She is our staff journalist for Women of Grace. In addition to that, she's our director of communication. In addition to that, she does the research and the responding to the questions that you send in about the wacky things that you see in the world today and what does the church have to say about them and can we participate as Catholics? Very, very helpful is she in directing us and guiding us. And I keep saying, you know, it's so true. There isn't anything like our New Age blog out there anywhere else. So we invite you to go to our website, womenofgrace.com. In addition to looking at all of the events and where we're going to be and signing up for them, we want you to look at that New Age blog. It's underneath the nav bar where it says blogs. click, and you'll see New Age Blog. Click, it'll take you there. There's a search feature there. There's always an article that is up for you, but there's also a search feature there where you can hunt and peck for topics that are important to you or something that you have a question about. So I'll tell you what, we've got a listener question, Sue, and if it's okay with you, this came in through our call-in line, and I think it's a good springboard into the rest of our discussion today. So let's listen, and let's have you respond, and here we go.
My name is Cindy from Sacramento, and I'm calling to ask about the Healing Code. It's a book that's out by Dr. Lloyd, but he talks about the energies around us. Anyway, I'm in a book club, and I want to make sure that before I start doing the Healing Code, that it's okay with the Catholic faith to do this. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, Sue. What is the Healing Code and what's going on with that? I don't like the sound of it.
Yeah, the Healing Code is just it's a very, very hokey system that was developed by Dr. Alex Lloyd. Now, he's not a medical doctor. He is a naturopath, okay? And naturopaths believe in the in vitalism and that the body can heal itself, that it's possessed of this universal life force energy, and that, you know, healing mechanisms are lying dormant in the body, and the naturopath uses different natural means to awaken that. That's what a naturopath is. So it's not scientific. At all. It's anyway, Lloyd, he has several different ways that he said he found out about these codes. These are special codes. One of them is that he had a 10-year-old boy whose parents they were his clients, and this 10-year-old boy, their son, had a dream in which a power gave him a gift, and it was a series of 10 words that could heal. And what you do is you take these 10 words and you point the finger and direct this life force energy at whatever is ailing you and is supposed to be able to heal you. And it wakes up this dormant self-healing mechanism in the body. And then, of course, whatever is your ailment is going to cure you of it. And he claims that this has worked for him, that his wife was suffering from debilitating depression for 12 years. He used the codes to do that, you know, yada, yada, yada. I research this stuff all the time, Jeanette. They all say that everybody and their mother was cured of everything from cancer, heart disease, and all that, and none of them have any science behind it. Lloyd goes the same way, no science behind what he's doing. And it's based on this belief that the cells of our body have a memory, and they remember all kinds of traumatic experiences and illnesses and things like that, and that what we need to do is clear out these memories from our cells. And this is what some of this work is intended to do. Now, of course, there's no science at all behind that. And I know people criticize us, Jeanette. They criticize our blog a lot. You always
recommend by that.
Yeah, well, you know, even some Catholics do. Why are you so, you know, up on this science and science, science, science? And what people don't understand is that Catholicism teaches that there can never be a discrepancy between faith and reason, right?
Right.
And so, you know, since the same God reveals, and this is right from the Catechism, the same God who reveals mysteries and infuses faith has bestowed the light of reason on the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it is natural. Things are wonderful and great, but God also created science. And that's a wonderful thing. And God's not going to deny himself from between the science and the natural. I mean, he's not going to deny himself. So the science always has to be a part of that in there. And if you are practicing something that is not based in science and you are using it for something life-threatening or contagious, that is against the teaching of the Catholic Church. Why? Because that's superstitious medicine.
Well, you might as well
believe in a rabbit's foot, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, I it's interesting because God created the natural laws, right? He created the laws of nature. And so he created a system, and that system is verifiable. We don't discover anything that God has not already created. And part of the process in knowing if something is morally licit, I think, is whether or not the laws of nature support it. In other words, the scientific method is not in opposition to truth. It's not in opposition to the way in which God would have us go. You know, so the scientific method is the way in which we verify if something is of value to us, given to us by God. I think it's one of the discerning features, one of the things that we can look to. So, you know, the scientific method means, you know, and I'm sure that they still teach this. I hope they still teach it. I don't even really know. But the whole deal has to be repeatable. And it has to be evidential. There has to be evidence that's gathered for it. Not anecdotal testimony, but evidence that's gathered for it. It has to be, let's just put it this way, proven. It has to be proven. So even evolution, it's a theory. It's never been proven. It still remains a theory, right? So things like this, where there's nothing that can be repeated, there's nothing that is verifiable, we would want to set this to the side. The other thing that see if you think this is reasonable, Sue. The other thing is, so many of these healing modalities involve some kind of esoteric knowledge. In other words, this is a code. It's a secret code, and you can unlock this secret code, and you can make it work for you. You can use this. You can manipulate this in such a way that you're really manipulating the elements of the universe, this life force energy that also has never been. It doesn't exist. You can manipulate it to put it at your disposal. It's very different than finding and discovering. Well, here is a mineral, or here is this, and that can be useful. All of these things have got to be put up against the test of faith.
They absolutely do. And that's really a very Gnosticism. That's Gnosticism, really, is believing this secret knowledge. I've got this secret knowledge here that's right. Going to just do all this wonderful stuff, and it only costs you $196, you know, to get a few of these codes. I mean, you know, it's funny, but I see that out here, especially in the area of alternatives. And so many people are being led into the new age through that door. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going through it. And today's gospel, Jesus is warning about wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's where you're going to find them. Now, it's true that big pharma and, you know, the allopathic medicine, they have their own set of problems. That's very, very true. But let me tell you something. Alternatives have those problems on steroids. Because you've got a whole bunch of people out there who are doing things like Dr. Alex Lloyd is doing. They're marketing stuff that has no scientific evidence behind it. They're luring in the gullible and many times the desperate who can't find a cure anywhere else. And they're being lured into this thinking that, well, maybe this is going to be it. They're breaking hearts. That's one of the reasons why we teach you can't use it. Untested alternatives for anything life-threatening or contagious is obvious why you wouldn't want to do that. But because this is a violation against charity, this is just unkind to be dragging people into something that you know isn't substantiated by science. And the only thing you have are testimonials. And hey, from my research, I can tell you most of them are written by the people who are selling the product. They just make it up. Yeah. And they put it on their website. There's no proof that this stuff really happened. Or that it really works. So we have published a blog out there too, and I recommend that people read this because this will help them if they're involved in alternatives in any way. It's called Discerning Good Medicine from Quackery, and it's on our blog at newage.womenofgrace.com, and that will tell you there's about 7 or 8 different steps that you should follow to check to make sure that what you're looking into truly is what it says it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole series of stuff to go through that will protect you from falling into that trap of superstitious medicine.
Yeah. I think it's important to realize that we live in a post-Christian age, right? You know, you've got to look at the cultural soup that we're trying to swim in, you know, and that cultural soup is muddy. It lacks clarity. All of that is because of relativism. It's a soup that can certainly cause us to drown. And, you know, when you begin to dip your toe into that soup, you know, it acts like quicksand. It'll pull you in quickly. And your point is very well taken that a lot of these healing modalities become entry points. And if you begin to capitulate on one, you know, it's just like what happened with Eve in the garden. You know, she ought not to have been talking to the serpent anyway. She shouldn't have been even wandering near the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? But she gravitated to it. It was probably a very pretty tree. She gravitated to it, right? And once she got there, she capitulated. She began a discussion with a dragon, which, you know, you want to just ask yourself, what was that all about? But she, you know, she began to consider the prospect, and then she just got pulled in and pulled in and pulled in and pulled in until she was in a moral quicksand, and it was all over. And I think that some of these things sound so good, and we put such an emphasis on health and wellness that we're willing to try just about anything, and they become a quicksand that can lead us from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing until pretty soon, you know, we have become, we ourselves have become post-Christian. It sounds silly. We can hold on to there's that passage in scripture that says, that such as these worm their way into the homes of silly women who are always searching for the truth, but never arriving at it. And I think so we have true. To be really careful, right?
Oh, that's so true. You have to really watch what you're doing here. Watch your step. Because as I said, it's very easy to fall into these traps because these websites, they're very slick. They know how to market this stuff. They really do. And they'll use scientific language. In many cases, they use Christian-sounding language. They want to put that nice little Christian veneer on it because they know that their audience, especially here in the West, is largely a Christian or was a Christian audience and is attracted to that particular message. So, you know, you've got to be careful about all of that. Always look at these things with a critical eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever That's you're right. looking up something, you know, a Rife machine or something, go put in there Rife machine dangers of. Because if you just put in a Rife machine, you're just going to come up with all these sites of people who are using the Rife machine and they think that it's great. But
right.
go to the other side. Try to look for the critical evidence against it to see, okay, where is that coming from? That's normally where you're going to find your science.
Mm-hmm.
Is on that side of the picture. So always don't be afraid to look around a little bit and to check into it and to find out where the stuff is actually coming from.
Absolutely. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us toll free here on Women of Grace with our guest, our Wednesday featured guest, Sue Brinkman. She's with us every Wednesday. We call it Wacky Wednesday, because it really does provoke us to look more deeply than what the veneer is. And unfortunately, a lot of times we hold on to the vestiges of religion, but the religion itself, you know, we don't consider that it has power, that there's a potency there. No, we hold on to the exterior forms of religion, but in our heart, you know, unfortunately, we've already capitulated, and we're more of this age rather than not of it. And Lulu has a question. She's out there on YouTube, and she wants to know if burning sage in your home is bad, and if so, why?
Oh, yes, it's bad. Saging is shamanistic ritual. It goes back to ancient Rome. That's been used. Sage has been used by indigenous peoples around the world for medicinal properties, but also burned in the home, who they believe is going to cleanse your home of bad vibrations. It's also known as smudging. That's another name for that. It's, you know, magical energy, clearing smoke. You walk around your house and you let the smoke rise up and, you know, pour out the windows. It forces all the negative energy out. So it's very much a superstition. It's based on, as I said, shamanism. That is not compatible with Christianity. I had a question once. This is very interesting. Reminded me of it. Somebody said, how do you know it's better to smudge than to bless your house? And I thought, well, gee, for blessing the house, we have evidence from exorcists that come from the mouths of demons themselves that they don't like that and they will clear out of the house, right? And from saging, what do we have? Nothing but smoke. So, you know, yeah, I would say blessing the house is where you should go and forget the sage, because it's really not going to do anything but add this scent to your house, you know. He's not going to chase the devil.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say this. In and of itself, sage, there's nothing the matter with sage. It's the way we use the sage. It's the same with the crystal stuff, you know. There's nothing the matter with a crystal. Crystals are lovely. They're beautiful. They're creations of God. But it's what we do with them that makes them, that makes it. It's the practice of using them for purposes that are outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church that gets us into trouble. So in the reality of what they are, And used properly, like people like to use sage in their food, you know, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Isn't that what Simon and Garfunkel sang about? But the fact of the matter is that there's nothing the matter with that. But if we are assigning a value and a property to it that's being used in a superstitious or, God forbid, you know, practice of a pagan religion, we got a problem, folks. We got a problem. Let's go to Doug. He's out there in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota today. We invite you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. We've taken a YouTube question here, which tells you we're out there on social media. Jeff Burson runs out there and gets your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement from EWTN Radio's YouTube site and Facebook page. Ryan Penny on phones when you call in. Say hello to Ryan. Say howdy, hey, Ryan. He likes that. I think he likes it. I've never asked him. I like it. Do it. All right, let's go to Doug. He's in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. Sirius XM 130 is the way that he's with us. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hi, John. Yeah, I see you guys flashing back to Gunsmoke. had me flashing back to the first time I got the guts to call. I mean, you know, calling a radio station that goes around the world, it's a little bit intimidating, but the first time I called, both you and Sue were there, and I was a big hit with you guys. Sue said, oh, thank you so much, and Jeanette said that I was holding my hand over my heart, and I was off to a great start. So anyway, just flashing back, but you talk about Jack's noticing your ability to see a shiny thing.
Yeah.
And it brought me to the thought that I really don't like going to a movie by myself nearly as much as when my wife's with me, because as she sits there, I can actually feel the vibrations of her, the way things affect her in the movie. And it just, I equate that with women seem to be just more sensitive. They can see shiny things just a little bit better than us guys, and I believe that's what your ministry is all about. You're trying to point toward that feminine genius, that women of grace, that especially with the young ones now, and you're trying to highlight
that. Doug, I
got to
leave it there because we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come right back to you, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. We're inviting you to give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here today. Sue Brinkman with us, talking about wacky things that we see out there that we say, okay, now I don't quite know about this. Is this okay or is it not okay? Sue's going to answer and help you out with any of the questions that you call in with or comments that you want to make or statements that you wish to share. So do join us at 833-288-EWTN or go out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Jeff Burson will grab your questions and get them up on the board for us. So we've got Doug on the line here, Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. He's talking about the feminine genius and woman's capacity to, take in the whole of something, you know, to see shiny objects and to be able to, when I say that, I mean, you know, things that might seem to be distractions or really maybe just part of the feminine genius is what I think you're saying, Doug. Am I right?
Yeah. And, you know, kind of connected to wacky, it's related to the wacky feminism and the book you've been mentioning about the enemy of Mary, I think was the name, perhaps, but
the anti-Mary exposed.
Yeah, there you go. And so it's kind of it seems really related to me. I just watched a little 10-minute thing about introducing wolves into one of our national parks and how it just completely changed the whole nature of the park, you know, everything, the vegetation and the life that came there. And to me, that's what St. John Paul II was trying to do by pointing out the feminine genius, if you introduce the true feminine genius, it changes the whole landscape.
For the positive.
I think it was Bishop Sheen. Yeah. And I believe it was Bishop Sheen said that you can, a culture goes according to its women. Mm-hmm. And if we can get to that true feminine genius, in, like you instill still in ladies, it gets men to become who they are meant to be. It points men toward what God intends them to be, and then the whole landscape changes, the whole society changes, and it's kind of like the trigger that gets it all started, and that brings us back to Gunsmoke.
Let me just interject here, Doug. You know, I think that you're right about that, and I think that that's why the evil one went after Eve to begin with, and not after the man, because the civilization rides on the woman. The man knows who he is because of Eve, right? Adam knows he at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He doesn't know who he is until he sees Eve, and then he figures himself out. Well, if you take the woman out, you take the man out. If you take the man out, you might not take the woman out, because she doesn't have that same kind of she doesn't necessarily see herself reflected in the man in the same way as the man sees himself reflected in the woman. And I like the analogy of the wolf in the park changing the whole ecosystem, the whole structure of that park, because I'm guessing that the wolf is probably a negative force, and I see that as the interloper. Don't you, Sue, sort of see that like as the what radical feminism has done to women? It's an interloper that's caused destruction everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think that you know, the fathers of the Second Vatican Council, even before I think the feminine genius was enunciated, I'm not sure how long ago that phrase actually came out. But you know, they said they were calling upon women, not mm-hmm. men, to save the peace of the world, to hold back the hand of man.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, they saw that we had the qualities that it takes in our generosity, our maternity, our receptivity. We have everything that we need to bring about peace in this world if we use it correctly, which is why I think your point that you made is so absolutely correct. That's why the devil's going after women right now, and he's going after us big time. I mean, look what he's doing with women. Women are leading the charge for these radical abortion policies out there. They're very much in the forefront of the LGBT agenda. They're out there, you know, doing this, and that's because Satan has gotten to them.
Yeah.
And we need a lot of prayer for our women.
No question about it. We're under attack today, but not under attack from the forces that the radical feminists would say that we're under attack from. You know, and that's just the big reality of it. And so if the evil one can obliterate the truly feminine in the culture, I mean, the entirety of creation is based on, there's a feminine principle in the creation itself, you know? So the fact of the matter is if you take the woman and you make her lust after things that she cannot have, if you make her androgynize herself through the sterilization of her womb, and you entice her into sexual behaviors that are not natural. If you do these things, what you're really doing is you are compromising the entirety of the created whole. You're certainly undermining the structure of society and of civilization itself. And you know, we're in a mess. But that's what we strive to do through Women of Grace, is to be a positive voice to wake women up from their beguilement, from their enchantment, and bring them back to where they need to be. Let's go to Sherry. She's out there in Colorado Springs, Colorado today. Catholic Radio Network is the way she's with us. She's a first time caller, so we ring our little bell here for her excitedly. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I was listening earlier, and you were talking about the new age and all that. And I think Sue, she brought up the rice. I'm going on. I'll have cancer for the third time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness.
They're looking at doing chemo again, and I just am so against it. And so, I was actually considering that the rife. I was looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that it was something that, you know, went along the lines of, like, with the New Age, you said.
Yeah, it's not so much New Age as it is just, it's pseudoscience. It's just pseudoscientific. It's based on what's called radionics, and that asserts that diseases are diagnosed by the frequencies they emit, and that by if you feed the body the proper vibration, it can cure it. The only problem with that is that's never been proven to be true, and nobody's ever been really cured by any of these things. It was invented by Royal Rife. He was a follower of Albert Abrams, who developed this whole system of radionics. And Abrams, by the way, at the point that he died, he had been dubbed the Dean of Gadget Quacks. So he had a whole bunch of these machines out there, and they don't work. There's no evidence that they do work. And what I worry about in your case, Sherry, is that you're being robbed of money that you need for good treatment and, mm-hmm. and the right treatment right now. That's what worries me about it. And that's really is one of the worst things about alternatives and falling into alternatives when in a situation like yours. Because we all know how expensive medical care is. And these alternatives that are offering, you know, the last hope or something to people, they're very expensive too. And that's just another way that I see the sick being preyed upon by this industry. By the New Age alternative industry. So I would stay away from the Rife machine. It's just not good.
And there is a type of placebo effect that can happen mm-hmm. with regard to these things, Sue, right? Where, you know, Sherry, you believe that you're going to get better by this, and so you use it. I don't mean you specifically, but the general you. You use it, and you begin to feel some relief, but it's a mind over matter thing. I begin to feel some relief because I believe that I'm doing something to help myself. But it's not necessarily, and that can be, you know, in a certain way, there's a positive reality to that, but it's not a cure for the disease. So it's far better, you know, to relieve stress, relieve anxiety, to feel better about ourselves, you know, a walk in nature, certain kinds of stress reducing factors can really benefit us when we're going through trying times like this. But the way that this is sold, as Sue is explaining, is, you know, that this is going to take care of the problem, and it doesn't. It might give you some relief, but it doesn't take care of the problem. But it's probably more, you know, placebo effect than anything else. What kind of cancer do you have, Sherry?
It's ovarian.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, well, so I'll tell you.
You know, I've been doing like, have you heard of ozone therapy?
Yeah, ozone therapy. I'm not sure about that one. Let me just look that one up here. We have such a library, Sherry, that it's huge.
Yeah,
I do have ozone therapy in here. Let me just see. Thanks to the people who write to us, because that's how we get this large library, is from them. It is considered alternative. It has not yet been proven in laboratory testing, although they at least are trying. But that's based on the belief that you can introduce extra oxygen into the body and increase its ability to destroy disease-causing cells such as cancer. Now, two of the ways that they go about introducing that oxygen is through injections of hydrogen peroxide and ozone, which is a chemically active form of oxygen. Now, American Cancer Society is saying, you know, available scientific evidence does not support claims that oxygen-releasing chemicals into a person's body is effective in treating the cancer. So that has not been proven. Some types of oxygen treatment can actually be dangerous. There have been reports of very serious illness and even death from this hydrogen peroxide. So that's another one.
So, Sherry, I can tell you what is effective. Prayer is effective. So how about if we pray with you right now?
Okay.
So, Father God, we come to you in prayer, beginning as we always do, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father God, we just lift up your daughter, Sherry, to you in this moment. And we lift up all of the needs that she has, especially the need for healing and wellness and wholeness. Father, you have seen fit to permit her to carry a portion of your Son's own cross, and we know that every cross that we are entrusted is laden with grace, and it's laden with spiritual treasure. And so for the duration of time that Sherry needs to carry this cross, I would ask that you would be taking her more deeply into the treasure of the cross, into the good things that come by way of it, into the graces that are there for her, into the spiritual truths that you want to reveal to her, into this ever-deepening relationship with you whereby she can experience your love, she can experience your providential care, she can see you as Father, she can see you as Son, she can see you as Holy Spirit. Father, we know that nothing can stand up under you that is of the evil one. And we know that the triumph has already come through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's hill. And so in this moment, we would ask that you would release your most precious blood into every cell of Sherry's body. We would ask that you would just imbue her with the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, a blood that is pure and holy. A blood that is of the divine life itself, a blood that can conquer illness, that can conquer disease, that can conquer bacteria. This precious blood that calls our body into right order, including the multiplication of cells within it. Father God, you tell us that anything that we ask together in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will hear it. Your Son speaks these words of truth to us in sacred scripture. And so we would ask that Sherry, in conjunction with good scientific means of healing and wellness, we pray that all would be efficacious, that this cancer would be arrested. I'll tell you, Father, I'm praying for a complete and total healing of her right now. We dare to ask this because we have confidence in you and we place our trust in you. And so it is that we would ask that for the duration that this cancer endures, that it would be a means of holiness and growth in union with you for your daughter. But we ask that ultimately she would be freed from this and she would experience that abundance of life that our Lord Jesus Christ has come to give to us. We offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Well, you're welcome, precious. And listen, anytime you want prayer, you just call in and we'll pray for you, okay? We'll go through this time with you.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sherry. God bless. Bye-bye now. I well understand how it can be so enticing that something is going to be a sure fix, Sue, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of the real... What do I want to say? The meanness of some of these things that go on out there, especially when people are aware of the fact that they don't work.
I know. That's what's so sad for me. And I look at their websites and I just say, do you realize how many people out there truly are desperate? You know, medical science perhaps has said to them, oh, there's nothing further we can do for you. And they're right. Going to come out there. That's who they're going for. They're
that's
going
right.
for those people whose means have been depleted from years probably of medical needing medical intervention. So they rob them of their money. And then eventually, of course, they're going to rob them of their hope. They're going to be desperate. They're going to fall into despair when they find out, oh, here's this one thing I thought was going to help me, and now that's not doing it either. I give up, you know? I just really, it's just evil. It's evil.
Well, I remember a dear friend of mine who developed breast cancer, and then it spread everywhere and finally to her brain. And she called to tell me that she was at the last hurrah. There was nothing more that could be done for her. And I raced over to her house and I sat with her and I prayed with her and we talked. And she said, I don't understand this, Jeanette, because I have only been allowing positive thoughts into my mind. And I thought, oh my goodness, that, you know, I mean, it's really the law of attraction, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she was blaming herself for the spread of this disease. And see, to me, this is horrible. I mean, it's horrible.
A lot of them teach this. They teach that you can make it go away by the way you think, that your mind has some kind of a power that, of course,
right.
we know it doesn't. And but they teach that, and the people say, yeah, I do. I feel better. And just like what you were saying about the placebo effect, that's a very powerful thing. And it can make people truly believe that they're being helped, especially someone who's desperate, because psychologically they need for that to work.
Right.
They need for this alternative to work for them. So they're going to imagine that it did.
Yeah.
It's just, the whole thing is just, to me, such an evil force in the lives of people who are already suffering enough.
Yeah.
It just isn't. It really is sad. It's very sad.
We had a phone call, and our caller had to leave. I hope she's still listening. And her name was Teresa, and she was calling about her son, whose fiance claims to be a Satanist, wanting advice and counsel for that.
My goodness. The very first thing to do, of course, is to pray protection for both of them. This person has already given herself over, perhaps to Satan. I don't know if theistic Satanism. There's different kinds of Satanism out there. Some of them really don't. They don't really follow or worship Satan. They just look at him as like this pre-Christian life force that should be emulated, but they don't actually worship him. Theistic Satanists do worship the devil. And then you have religious Satanism, which is the kind that just say that, oh, it's a pre-Christian life principle, like some other ancient society. They just look at it as some sort of paganism, and they just follow that. That's religious Satanism. The Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, he would be an example of religious Satanism. It depends on what kind she is, but wherever it is that she's in a bad place. Yeah. There's a reason why she's gotten herself involved in that. We don't know what it is. We just know that teens are very attracted to that right now. And that's one of the reasons they believe is because their reading material, their games, their comic books, their videos, movies and that, they're so infused with practices of sorcery that they've become very desensitized to it. They don't think anything's wrong with it. They think the devil and all of his power is something good that they can harness. They fall into that whole trap of thinking that they can control this power that Satan's giving them, never realizing that Satan is always in control of them from day one, and he will eventually destroy them.
Well, and I would say this, I don't know how the church would evaluate this, but I would certainly say that it would send up a very big and mighty red flag if Teresa's son is attempting to get married in the church, and the church knows that this girl is involved in Satanism. I think that would be an impediment that would prevent him from marrying her. I don't know, but I think it might be. So, Teresa, it's a very difficult situation that you find yourself in as the mother of this young man, and it's a difficult situation that he finds himself in. But, there's all kinds of other, what would I want to say, dangers that are involved in this that are not easily apparent. I mean, they come together as one flesh. This is not good. So these are things that we really have to look at very, very seriously when we're considering the person that we're going to marry. How is this going to affect the life? How is it going to affect the spouse? Because this becomes a reality in the home. These things are not benign. And they bring things with them into the home. So, dangerous position. So we'll pray for you, Teresa. We'll tuck you into our rosary, that's for sure. We do have a call that was left by a listener on yoga. So let's listen to that call, Sue, and let's get your response on it.
Okay. My name is Lisa, and I was calling just the question of, is it all right for a Roman Catholic to practice Iyengar yoga? Thank you.
Yeah. Iyengar yoga. That was developed by BKS Iyengar. He's the one who wrote the book. Really, it's sort of like the Bible of modern yoga, and that's called Light on Yoga. He's the author of that book. That's a form of – Iyengar is a form of hatha yoga. It does have an emphasis on precision and the performance of the postures and on breath control. But all of these things are still based in the philosophy of yoga. Even though they might say, well, our emphasis is more on postures than anything else. Once you get into that breath control, pranayama, that is absolutely going to lead you into spiritual states. And in fact, the postures can do just the same thing, especially if you're doing the postures very quickly, because your breath control during that, those very quick movements of that, the yogis say this in itself, even if you're not trying, can put you into an altered state. So, hatha yoga is definitely something to avoid if you're a Catholic. Do not get involved in that.
Yeah, Sue, I think what you said here, I don't want to rush beyond this point that you made, because it's a very important point, that the whole purpose of yoga means path to God. The whole purpose of it is to lead into an altered state of consciousness, and it is effective. It will do that. So that altered state of consciousness puts you into a position where you are vulnerable, spiritually vulnerable.
Absolutely it does. And that's one of the biggest problems with yoga, that and besides leading you into Hinduism and the practice of Hinduism. So many people say, there was a study done several years ago now on this, like 85% said they started yoga for physical reasons, because they wanted to work out. And then at the end of 5 years, why were they still there? And they had all switched over to the spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
So you can see that even your intention when you come in there, I don't want to learn, I want to learn, it's still based in that philosophy, and it still will come through in one way or another. You enter into some of these altered states, even for just a brief period of time during your workout. That's enough. That's enough to be influenced towards that spirituality.
Well, there you have it with Sue Brinkman today, right here on Women of Grace Live, closing out another Wacky Wednesday with Sue. She's going to be back with us again next week. We hope you'll be back with us again tomorrow as we continue to press forward right here on Women of Grace Live. Sue, thanks a bunch. It's been great being with all of you. Until we have the opportunity to be together again, may God richly bless you. Jonette Williams, signing off of Women of Grace Live for the moment. Bye-bye now.